3 days after the funeral, Alex Layton hovered above the headpost on Eric's bed. Lois and Jen and Billy sat on the edge. Eric, being the youngest, was in his pajamas and ready for sleep. Lois spoke to the children in soft tones. "It's been a few days now, kids, and I know it's hard, but we've got to put some of it behind us and get on with our own lives. I'll be going back to my job tomorrow. I want you all to return to school." Billy put on a brave face. "Okay, Mom." It wasn't hard to see that he, being the oldest, felt he was the man of the house now. How old was he? 11. Jen, 9, and the most emotional of the three kids, felt no restrictions about holding back her feelings. "I miss Dad," she said, her voice cracking. Lois put her arm around her, and Jen sobbed. Then Billy leaned his head onto his mother's shoulder and buried his face. He cried silently, embarrassed by his tears. Eric crawled out from under the covers and hugged his family affectionately, but he shed no tears. Later, when Jen and Billy were asleep, Lois returned to the room and, seeing Eric awake, sat on the side of his bed. "Sweetheart," she whispered, "it's okay to cry." Eric stared at her with his huge brown eyes, but he said nothing. "What I mean is, it's all right to mourn for your father," she said. And Alex knew Eric was on the verge of telling Lois the truth.
"Don't tell her, son. It would only upset her more,"
Alex said. Later, when Lois went away, little Eric spoke to where his father glowed in a corner of the ceiling. "Daddy, are you like the angels Mom used to tell me about? Are you my guardian angel?"
"You bet."
"Good night, Daddy."
"Night, son."
But Alex no longer needed sleep. Instead, he played the whole scene back and thought about his family. His wife, Lois, sensitive, but on the inside strong and drawing on that innate strength now to pull her family together. His daughter, Jen, she most likely taking the longest time to forget the pain, but in the end as strong, if not stronger, than her mother. His son, Billy, he would weather it best, perhaps. The truth was that, once the pain was forgotten, each would find his or her niche in life. For Jen, he had had great expectations. A doctor, perhaps, with her compassion. Billy, a leader. Lois, with necessity motivating her, rising to a high position in her job. And Eric, little Eric. There was the rub.
And poised between life and death, Alex Layton had hesitated. Then Alex asked the light to repeat certain scenes from his life, and the light complied. And suddenly Alex was there in the delivery room with his wife, looking down at the tiny, frail infant. Alex knew, without the doctor telling him, that something was wrong. And Alex wasn't at all surprised later when the doctor told him about the complications and the heart murmur and how the boy would need extra care until he was old enough to be operated on and the problem could be corrected.
Alex followed Eric to school. When Eric got to the schoolyard, most of the other kids ignored him. Alex, who could see much clearer into people now, saw that it wasn't unkindness that kept the other kids away. No, they were a little afraid of Eric. He was the kid whose father had died, and death was a mystery they were all just learning about. Eric didn't seem to mind the isolation. He smiled and whispered, "Are you still there, Daddy?" And Alex, who was invisible to his son in daylight, said back,
"Still here."
Then the bell rang, and Alex followed his son inside. Eric's teacher, Mr. Hodkins, was a tall, thin man with a sour face, and the very first thing he announced was a spelling bee. "We'll use the words we've been studying the past 2 weeks," the teacher said. "Let's split up into two groups." It was, of course, unfair, since Eric had missed a week, and especially unfair since Eric was quite good at spelling and this bee counted as a test. But the spelling bee progressed well for Eric. He went through the first 5 rounds with ease, whereas everyone else was eliminated save one boy in his group and 2 girls in the other. "Mountain," Mr. Hodkins said, pronouncing the word distinctly. He gave it to Rachel Childress, who was on the other side.